All right. God bless you guys. Good morning. You look fantastic. Thank you for being here today. I know that it was a less than favorable weather situation out there to brave and endure. I haven't been outside recently, so hopefully it's looking a little bit better. You won't blow away on your way home, but we're actually going to talk about God's protection this morning, so maybe it's a fitting Sunday to do that. If you haven't been here for the first couple weeks, we talked about the covering of God's grace, the umbrella of God's grace. Chris has started us off in this series. Then I talked about the umbrella of faith last week. And today we're going to talk about the umbrella of protection. And next week, the umbrella of favor. I don't want you to miss any of these messages. So make sure to log on to mysummit.church and listen to those messages if you missed any. And be sure to be here next week. We've got really cool services coming up that I don't want you to miss any of those anyway. But when we talk about God, one of the difficulties that we experience is we tend to think about God using human logic, we think about God the way we think about ourselves and each other, which is fair because the Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. So to expect that you and I would think like God is maybe a stretch, but can often cause frustration and misunderstanding about the character and nature of God and the things that are accessible to us and our relationship with God when we think incorrectly about God. So let me give you a perfect example of that. God is limitless, right? We know that God is omniscient, omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, there are no boundaries to God. He has always existed. He will always exist. Those things are kind of confounding to us. They're confusing to us because we don't think like that. We were born. We'll die at a certain point. When we buy something, we know it has a certain life. That's like we kind of like to see guarantees that it's guaranteed for 10 years because we like to know that something will last. But we also know that everything has its limitations. We may increase in strength. Some of you guys like to go to the gym and you like to work with weights and you're increasing your strength. You're increasing your ability to do things with your strength. But you also know there's a limit. There's a point at which you can't lift a Buick over your head, right? I mean, there's just a point where everybody's strength is limited. So everything we understand is so when we think of God, we think of him being unlimited. And we think, unfortunately, that that means there are no boundaries or conditions. So let me give you an example. Chris has started talking about grace. Grace is the very core and the very essence of salvation. We are able to experience salvation because of God's grace. Salvation isn't possible without God's grace. God's grace is unlimited. Okay? God's grace is unlimited. However, God's grace has boundaries. Let me put it like this. God's grace has conditions. If God, I have a call coming in. Sorry, I'm trading some stocks today, so tell them to buy high and sell low. That's the wrong way, by the way. Anyway, there are conditions. Here's what I mean. God's grace is unlimited, which means salvation is available to everyone, yet not everyone's going to heaven. So why is that? If God's grace is unlimited and salvation is accessible to everyone, then why wouldn't everyone be saved? Well, it's because there are conditions in salvation that change the dynamic of someone's relationship with God. In other words, not everyone's going to interact with salvation the same way. Not everyone will encounter grace the same way. Listen to what it says. That's not me. That's not my theology. That's the Bible. Listen to what it says, Romans 10, 9 through 10. If, you don't have this in your notes, by the way, but write it down, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You can go home and read it yourself. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. We believe with our hearts, and so we're made right with God. In other words, the way we're made right with God is if we believe. There is a condition to salvation. The condition to salvation is you must believe. And then it says, and we declare with our mouths that we believe, and so we are saved. So there is a condition to salvation. That's why not everyone's saved. You starting to understand that although grace and salvation is unlimited and accessible to anyone, there are conditions which exclude a lot of people. And the same would be in faith, and the same would be in protection, and the same would be in favor. In other words, protection, God's protection is unlimited as long as you stay within its boundaries. Right? This umbrella will cover everything. God will cover me in his protection, but I can't come out from underneath that and then expect God to continue to cover me, right? So whether it's grace or favor or protection, when it comes to areas in our lives like our physical health, our marriages, our finances, our emotional health, our mental health, our spiritual health as well, we can't expect God's covering if we're not going to live up to the terms of the agreement. But God's marked those terms very clearly. That's another big problem with us is we sort of fumble our way through our relationship with God sometimes and pretend as if God didn't tell us what we needed to do in order to cash in on the benefits of grace and the benefits of favor and the benefits of faith and the benefits of protection. God spells it all out for us. God doesn't want to be a mystery to us. God doesn't want to withhold truth from us. God doesn't want us to flounder and fumble our way through life. So God clearly states what it is that you and I are supposed to do, what we're supposed to know. God makes the fine print really easy to read. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So take out your notes if you don't already have them out. To know the boundaries of God's protection, I need to know that, number one, God's umbrella of protection isn't meant to be an umbrella of prevention. God's umbrella of protection isn't meant to be God's umbrella of prevention. So if you're going to pay attention at any point in this message, make it now. Okay? And I'm just going to let you know, we're going to spend a little more time on point one than we will on two and three, so don't get nervous. Okay? You're going to go, oh my God, if this is point one, we're here for a long time today. All right? You're going to get to lunch. Settle down. All right? This is probably the area, the reason I'm going to spend more time on this is probably the area that that causes more frustration, disappointment, and a sense of abandonment is when we misunderstand what we're going through. We begin to believe that God has abandoned us or that God's promises aren't as real to us as they are to someone else. Here's what I mean is we love the idea of the lottery. We love the idea that we might pick the numbers that will increase our wealth by millions. However, you don't care when someone else wins the lottery. You don't have a party at your house when Chuck Johnson, the 86-year-old wheat farmer in Buckeye, North Dakota, wins the lottery. You don't care because it's not you. And when you hear God fulfilling his promises and blessing and favoring someone else, you go, super, great. That doesn't apply to me. And so one of the greatest causes of our frustration and hurt and pain is when we believe that the promises of God are arbitrary. Sometimes they apply, sometimes they don't apply. They're just kind of vacillating. And so what happens is you and I begin to experience difficulty or pain or frustration or a challenge or a health crisis or a marital crisis or something begins to happen in our lives that feels very, very uncomfortable. And what happens is the first reaction is we want to escape that. It's a totally normal, natural reaction. We want to get out of that discomfort. We want to get out of that crisis. We want to move out of that very, very quickly. And so we try as hard as we can to figure out. We try to isolate the cause, right, so that we can fix whatever it is that's broken and we get out very quickly. But what happens is we don't often get out in the time that we want to get out, which is immediately, right? You know, what happens when you have a toothache? You don't go, I'm just going to play it out. I'm going to see where this goes. No, you call the dentist. You want to get in and get stuff shoved in. You want that taken care of quickly. You don't just go, I think it's going to pan out. So when we experience difficulty in any area of our life, we tend not to sit back and we want to get out of that. And unfortunately, that causes a lot of very unhealthy decisions, right? We have marital trouble. We start looking for an escape. And we take the wrong path. We have financial trouble. We think, you know what will solve this? More credit, right? We get to make those kind of stupid decisions. I guess I touched on a sore spot. Sorry. So anyway, too soon. So what happens is we begin to experience difficulty and discomfort. And then it lingers and it lasts and it continues in our life. And then we start feeling the pressure of it. If you lose your job, but 3 weeks later, you have the promise of another job. You lose it and you go out and you start applying and you're throwing your resume out there and you're doing interviews. And then somebody goes, hey, amazing. In 2 weeks, we can start you. We've got this new contract and that's when we can bring you in. And you go, oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. So you only have to go 3 weeks without income and you just make it work. You buckle down and that's fine. But 3 weeks, if it turned into 3 months and then turned into 6 months and then turned into 9 months, then that sort of difficulty begins to stir things in us and we begin to say, why is this happening to me? I don't get that. Then we begin to ask questions like this. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Right? Health crisis, we ask why me. A marital crisis, a financial crisis, we just go, why? Why? What did I do? Why aren't you saving me from this? Because our understanding is that if God's protecting us, he wouldn't let us go through that. That's not the way it works. We know that because in James 1, 2 through 4, it says this, don't run from tests and hardships. You see, what you and I think is, deep down inside, we may never verbalize this, we think if God is truly God and his protection is unlimited, then God won't let me go through the kind of things that other people go through. I should be excluded from this. Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you'll ultimately find joy in them. You're like, well, I've definitely been doing them wrong then. I'm having a real hard time finding joy. No parties yet for the hardships I've been going. If you embrace them, your faith will. Can you imagine living under a mentality and a belief system in which you go, this is good. I'm glad I'm struggling right now. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey across the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Listen, I'm not a fan of suffering. I'm not a fan of difficulty. I don't want that any more than any of you do. I don't like going through discomfort or pain or hardship. I don't like encountering life's challenges. But I'm going to tell you this. I've never experienced the benefits of an umbrella while it's sunny. I've never learned a relationship with how to live under an umbrella when it's sunny and there wasn't anything pouring on me. It's only when the skies open up and it begins to shower that you all of a sudden go, I need an umbrella. We're going somewhere this afternoon that's an outdoor thing. We're looking at a wedding venue. I've decided to finally ask Lisa to marry me. Lisa leaned over and said, we don't have an umbrella. Like, we didn't bring an umbrella. Like, all of the time that you never use an umbrella, you're not thinking about the need for an umbrella. It's only when the skies open up and it's weather like we have right now that you go, oh, we should probably have an umbrella, right? Unless we want to just stand there like wet dogs outside at this wedding venue soaking wet and drive home wet. You all of a sudden begin to go, I really appreciate the need for an umbrella in my life. See, hardship, difficulty draws you to the presence of God, draws you under his covering, draws you to the middle, because this is the place where you get least wet. It's hardship, it's difficulty, it's pain, it's suffering that brings you underneath this covering. When things are going well, it feels okay to step away from that. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. See, you have nothing to fear. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel who were constantly in this belief system that God wasn't doing enough for them to protect them. You have nothing to fear. I who made you will take you back. In other words, you're going to come back under my umbrella of favor and protection. I've chosen you, named you as my own. That umbrella has my name written all over it. And so when people see you underneath that, they'll know that you're covered by me. When you face stormy seas, I'll be there with you, endurance and calm. You won't be engulfed with raging rivers or in raging rivers. If it seems like you're walking through fire with flames licking at your limbs And I know that some of you feel like that's where you're at in life. Keep going, you won't be burned. See, God's people have a long, frustrated history with God, believing that God is not providing protection. And God has a long history with his people, reminding them that protection is not prevention. He says, no, 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 no. You need to go through this because it's going to draw out of you a trust and a faith in my protection. It's going to make you run under my covering. You will hide yourself in me. You'll cover yourself in me. There's scripture that talks about coming under the wings of God, just like a bird, an eagle, a hawk, protects its young by putting its wings over them. That is the protection of God. And guess what? When hardship comes, that's when you should run to God. Listen to Psalms 23, 1 through 6, which is sadly, I've talked about this before, become this scripture we associate with death for some reason. I don't know why. It has almost nothing at all to do with death. It vaguely references death, but I'm not sure why we do it, because it really is talking about walking through difficulty and prospering through difficulty. The Lord is my shepherd, my protector. I have everything I need. He gives me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm water. He gives me new strength when you feel exhausted and worn out. He leads me on paths that are right for the good of his name's sake. Even if I walk through a very dark valley, I will not be afraid, because you, God, are with me. Your rod and your shepherd's staff, they comfort me. Do you know what a rod and a staff are for? The staff was to pull the animals closer, to hook them and pull the sheep closer. And that rod was to keep the enemy at bay, to keep wolves and foxes and coyotes at bay. You prepare a meal for me. In front of my enemies, in the presence of my enemies, you pour oil of blessing on my head and you fill my cup to overflowing. Surely your goodness and love will be with me all of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You would think that going through hardship was the greatest thing that ever happened to David. He says, everything's good when I'm going through hardship. Even when I'm facing my enemies, even when I'm face to face with my enemies, I'm sitting down and having dinner. They're opposing me. Life is closing in on me. I'm going through very dark places, he says, but I'm determined to do this. I'm determined to live in your favor and your protection. I'm determined to live under this umbrella, because this is where all good things happen. I don't try and avoid those things. This is where I experience your goodness. This is where I experience your faithfulness. This is where you pour out your oil of blessing over my head when I'm in your presence, because hardship is closing in on me. Secondly is this: to know the boundaries of God's protection, I need to know that the umbrella of God's protection won't cover dangerous living. So warranties, extended service plans, protection plans. We love those. Protection, that sounds so safe. A protection plan. Did you want to buy the 2-year protection? We have a 3-year, a 4-year, a 15-year protection plan. And they sell it on everything. It used to be you bought it on cars, right? Or you bought it on a refrigerator or washer. You bought it on things that were hundreds or thousands of dollars, right? Because you go, oh, I don't want to be repairing this thing. And, you know, they go, hey, there's 22,000 moving parts on this. Any one of them could go wrong. And by the time you leave, you're terrified that you're bringing home complete junk. And so you're like, I should. So you go ahead and hand them 99 extra dollars so that 3 years you can bring it back. And here's what they say: anything goes wrong, you bring it right back, we give you something brand new. You're like, that's awesome. Because I'm thinking, on like the last day of the warranty, I'm just going to walk in and go, it's broke, give me new ones. That's my plan with extended warranties. So I'll be honest with you. I kind of, this is God's honest truth. I bought a video game. Not a system, a video game system, a video game, a disc. They're about $50. They offered me an extended service plan on it. It was Best Buy. I'm thinking, are there gears and like, are there things in here I don't know? I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is just a sheet of plastic like with code written into it. There's an extended service plan on that, right? I passed on that one. I was like, I think I'll be okay. But I do tend to buy them. Like, if you ever go to Harbor Freight Tool, they offer extended service plans for anything for like $6, right? And it's like, hey, your $400 generator, we'll give you a 22-year warranty. And it's $8.93. You're like, yes, I'll do that. I don't even care if they handed me a blank sheet of paper. That's your warranty. Fine, whatever. Because I just go, that's a great deal. I want to cover that. Now, here's what I have noticed. Of all the warranties I've bought, I've read a few of them. I've actually looked for the fine print, the exclusions, the what. They will cover just about anything and everything. None of them cover abuse or purposeful neglect. Not any of the ones that are going to stay in business, I should say. You see, if you buy a TV and the screen flickers and just goes black and you have to take it back and you go, hey, the screen stopped working, they're going to give you a new TV. If you're practicing your golf swing in your family room and your five iron goes through the screen, guess what? They're not covering that. Because there are things that break the terms of the agreement. There are things that are just reasonable that you go, you can't do that, and then expect the protection plan to still work. And of course, you're already ahead of me a little bit. You and I cannot live a life that violates the covenant agreement with God and then still expect God to cover us with his protection. We can't make dumb, destructive decisions about our lives and then go, God, where are you? I'm going to cash in the protection plan. We can't neglect or mistreat the covenant with God and then expect God to follow through. Listen to what Hebrews 13:5 says. This is a perfect example. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because he has said, he, capital H, God, has said, I will never leave you. I will always be by your side. In other words, God says, I'll never leave you. I'll always be by your side. Therefore, don't go out and do things that misprioritize me, that don't go out and worship and honor and love money more than me. I've made you a promise. The thing that violates that covenant agreement is when you neglect to acknowledge that I'm a promise keeper, when you don't trust me, when God says, I'll take care of everything, and you go, perfect, I sort of trust you. I'm going to go out and pursue money, though, so that I feel safe and secure. I'm going to go do money on my terms. God goes, then I can't bless your money. And then we go, why isn't my money blessed, God? I'm doing the things that, and God goes, no. You can't do the wrong thing and get the right results. You can't violate the terms of the agreement and then ask me to honor the agreement. I'll protect you as long as you trust me for your money. That's good. Good stuff. I know I'm talking about money again. I apologize. I'm really sorry. I know it's a very sensitive issue. I'll just mumble under my breath. This is worth summarizing if you can write it down somewhere. In everything we do, every decision we make, every action, every thought, we're choosing to live in a way that either invites God's covering of protection and blessing. So you're either inviting God's covering of protection and blessing, or we are choosing to live in a way that accepts and even invites the consequences of a cursed life. Now, it's not that when we reject God, he curses us, but when we, listen, you can't live under, when you live under here, you live under the protection of cursing. Cursing is what happens out there outside of the protection of blessing. When you step out, the natural, you can't curse the rain for doing what rain does. You can't yell at the sky for raining on, that's what happens when you come out from underneath it. You're like, ugh! And somebody goes, hey, dummy, the umbrella's right here. The covering's still there. Why are you out here? We want God to cover us no matter how far away from his favor, how far away from the covenant, how far away from him we get. We want to be able to roam and wander wherever we go in God's umbrella to follow us, but that's not how it works. It says, look, you have two choices. Did I leave that? I did. I read that passage. Okay, here's Deuteronomy 11:26. It's this simple, by the way. Look, you've got two choices. You can be blessed or you can be cursed. It's that easy. I don't know how it is that you and I have made following Christ so complicated. How experiencing the favor and the blessing and the faith and the covering of God is so complicated. We can either live a blessed life or live a cursed life. If you obey his commands, which I'm giving you today, you'll be blessed. If you don't obey his commands, if you leave the path I'm showing you today so that you can worship other gods who are foreign to you, so that you can worship money, so that you can put family even before God, so that you can put work before God, so that you can put your own selfish ambition before God, so that you can do things your way instead of God's way. If you want to do that, that's fine. Just know that you step out from underneath the umbrella. You leave the covenant agreement of God's protection. Then you'll be cursed. That's how easy it is. And third and finally is this. To know the boundary of God's protection, I need to know that I put myself where God's protection is, not where my fear lives. So listen, we like to give stuff away here. So on Super Bowl Sunday, we're actually going to give two big party packs away per service. Okay, we did it last year. We had a big cooler and chips and salsa and soda, and you can come in. Because listen, I know you guys like to treat Super Bowl Sunday like it's a religious holiday, like you get up at dawn and you begin to pray for favor over your team, and you begin to lay out the food offering, you know, chips and salsa and nachos, and you really want God's favor over your home. The game doesn't start till the afternoon. Come to church so God doesn't curse you and give you food poisoning and have bowel distress later that day because you didn't honor God first. So one incentive is that we're going to give you a ticket when you walk in. And when you have that ticket, you're going to have a specific number on it. And I'm going to read the winning numbers. And everyone's going to be excited. There are usually six numbers on there. Everybody's going to be excited for about the first three, because everyone gets the first three numbers exactly the same. It'll be like 6, woo, 7, yay, 9, woo. And then I'm going to go 5, and half the crowd's going to go, oh. And then I'm going to go 3, and then more people are going to go, oh. And I'm going to go 7. And somebody's going to stand up, and they're going to be really excited, and the rest of you are going to lose, and you're not going to be all that excited. Even if your number was 6, you were very close to winning. Or 8, you were very close to, doesn't matter, you still don't win, right? Sometimes we think if we're in the proximity of God's protection, or we're worrying about the things, or thinking about the things, or stressing about the things that we think are vulnerable to attack and need God's protection, we think that that's good enough to be under God's protection. But here's our problem. We focus on this over here, and your marriage is something you should care about, and your finances are something you should care about, and your physical health is something you should care about. But we're over here, and we're trying to do our best to just constantly be guarding these things. And then we're going like, what in the world? Why are you over there, God? It's because that our fear is what makes us try to manage and cover these things, our stress, our worry, our anxiety. We think that we can cover these things by worrying over them. I'm stressing over them. I'm worrying about them. And so it feels like the loving and right thing to do. And we're frustrated because God is over here. And there's a reason that he is. It's because that everything that we care about falls under an area of vulnerability that we almost always neglect. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in John 17, 9 through 16. He was praying to his Father, and by the way, he must have been praying out loud because somebody recorded this, right? Well, John recorded this. My prayer is not for the world. He's praying to his Father in heaven. But for those who you've given me, I'm not praying for the whole world. I'm praying for followers of Christ. I'm praying for those who call on me, those who are God followers, because they belong to you, Father. All who are mine belong to you, and you've given them to me. So they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world. I'm going away, and they are staying in this world. See, we start feeling nervous when we hear things like that. But I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so they'll be united just as we are. Jesus is praying the power of God's protection over all those who call on his name. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Talking about Judas. Lost my place. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. Now, this is what I really want you to focus on. I've given them your word. The world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. You know what Jesus said? So I'm going to summarize all that. He said, God, you've given the power to protect. You've given me the power to protect. I work under your name, but I'm coming back to you. Now I need you to continue to cover them. I need you to continue to protect them. While I was here, I protected them. I taught them. I brought them under your word. I brought them under your teaching. Now I need you to continue. You see, God, they're freaking out because the world's turning on them. The world hates them. The world's going after them. They feel like the world is their enemy. Listen, and then Jesus goes, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I don't want you to remove them from the place that is causing them so much distress I want you to protect them from the evil one. Because what happens is you and I get into life-controlling emotion, stress, fear, depression, anxiety, doubt, faithlessness, worry, hurt feelings, offense. We roam around in these areas, and then we get frustrated because God's umbrella doesn't follow us around into those areas. And what Jesus says is the goal's not to remove you from the things that are causing that. The goal is to put you under a place of faith and confidence in your identity and who you are in Jesus Christ. And then you begin to look at all those things completely differently. You begin to look at your marriage crisis with a completely different perspective, with your health crisis with a completely different perspective. You see, because fear doesn't exist under the umbrella of God's protection. Faithlessness doesn't exist under the umbrella of God's protection. Worry doesn't exist. Depression doesn't exist. Anxiety doesn't exist. Stress doesn't exist. The things that we carry around with us that we think is our covering, those things do not exist there. So when you look at financial crisis, when you look at marital crisis, health crisis, you look at it completely differently. Jesus said, protect them from the evil one who destroys them from the inside out. You see, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to annihilate your faith, your ability to believe that God can overcome the impossible. Close with this final passage, Ephesians 6, 12 through 13. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's heavenly, lowercase h, means in the spirit world. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. You know what that says? It says all the things that you get so worked up about and all the people that you think you're protecting yourself from and all the fights you engage in and all the emotional battles that you engage in, those things are absolutely worthless because you're fighting against the wrong enemy. These people aren't your enemy. The evil one is your enemy. There's spiritual warfare going around and you're fighting on Facebook about who's the president. Preacher, you gone from a preaching to meddling. Get back on topic. I would imagine that you and I could feel very vulnerable and exposed and uncovered when we're out fighting all these battles. We're fighting straw men. We're fighting windmills. And we're leaving ourselves completely exposed and open to the real attack of the real enemy. Do you know that if you walk in the armor of God, if you sit encamped on the hill of God, on the mountain of God, and you look down, that your perspective about all the things that seemed so important before changes entirely? Listen, when I was a kid, my house was home base. I could do anything, and if I could get back to my house, I was safe. I told you the story. I got off the bus one time, and I had called one of my brother's 3 years older than I am, about 3.5 years older than I am. So I was like maybe in third grade, and he was in sixth grade. And he had a friend named Bob Gregory, and Bob was in sixth grade as well. And I called Bob something, a derogatory name, a not nice name. But I was third grade, you know. I was so sweet and cute. I called him something. And he chewed up some Cheetos and spit them into my math book and then closed the math book, right? Which you would think I'd just go, that name-calling thing, I probably should stop that because it's only turned out poorly so far. Instead, I decided to just up the ante a little bit, said something else to him, which bruised his ego because everyone on the bus was looking out the window watching. We had gotten off at our stop. So he began to chase me, full open sprint. And he had sixth grade legs. I had little third grade legs, right? And I ran back to my house. I just thought, if I can get in my house, I'm safe. And I made it into my house, but as I go to shut the door, Bob's foot comes in and stops the door. My brother, who was friends with him, made the wise decision to protect his little brother, even though he probably wanted to punch me for causing all this to begin with. And have I told you this story? He told me to go get his fillet knife from his tackle box. And so I did. And if you know a fillet knife, they have very fine, extremely thin, very small tip on it. Bob was wearing Converse that day. I remember it because this has stuck with me. Not enough protection to stop a fillet knife from going into his foot. And so my brother took the tip of the knife and went right into Bob's foot after giving him sufficient warning, I would say. Like, I'm going to stab your foot if you don't get it out of the door. I ruled that neighborhood from that point on. My brother would stab you in the foot if you chased me. Yeah, so I'm not recommending. I don't even know if that's a really good analogy. As a matter of fact, forget I told you that story. My only point was this. Let's see if we can salvage a point out of that. Your perspective changes when you're inside of the protection of God. You see, you put yourself where God's protection is, not where your fear lives, which takes you out from underneath the umbrella. Fear always guides you into the worst places. Doubt, stress, anxiety, it always pulls you out from underneath because those things don't live in the kingdom of God. Those things don't live under the umbrella of God's faith, protection, favor, or grace. And so I think if I want those things protected, I come here, and those things consequently come with me. When I'm here, my marriage is here. When I'm here, my finances are here. When I'm here, my health is here. When I'm here, all the things I care about are here. It doesn't exclude me from going through those things. It just means I go through those things with the covering and the protection of God. You see, I walk through the fire and don't get burned. I can walk through the raging waters and not be consumed. I can go through hardship, pain. I can go through the challenges. I can go through all of the craziness that everyone else goes through, but I go through it with the confidence that God stands there with a fillet knife, stabbing at the foot of the enemy who tries to get into my world, who tries to get in and overtake me, who tries to get in and steal, kill, and destroy from me. And God stands there with the fillet knife, stabbing at the foot of the enemy. You like how I redeemed that story? That was pretty awesome. Go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to close. Now I want to ask you this question. Is this a struggle for you? Is this something that God's calling you to walk with greater faith and greater confidence in his protection? God's calling you away from bad decision-making and dangerous living that excludes you from his protection because you're breaking the covenant relationship. You can't go pursue things and make things more important than God and then expect God to go, oh yeah, that's fine. You want to ignore me and you want to ignore my covenant. You want to ignore my commandments and then you still want my covering. That's totally acceptable. That's not the way it works. And you just say, I don't want to live like that. And I don't want to live inside my fear and my insecurity. And I don't want to live inside of all the things that pull me out from underneath that umbrella. I need God's help. I want to live under that umbrella of protection. That's me this morning. I'm just praying for God's help. Praying for God's help not to come back out from underneath that. I want to stay right in the center of that umbrella. And that's you. Would you just slip your hand up and you can put it? Yeah, lots and lots and lots, lots of people. Well, let's pray together then. God, we all need you. And I'm going to guess even those that didn't raise their hand may not have raised it for one reason or the other, but in their hearts, they just think, yeah, I want to live under God's protection. But God, clearly, if it was easy for us, we would just be hanging out there all the time. But fear and insecurity and frustration and disappointment and feeling abandoned, those are all these really toxic emotions that pull us away from you. It's a strong tug. It's a strong pull. It feels like we're not going willingly. So God, if there's a way the enemy is winning over us and you can expose that vulnerability to us, God, so that we can attack that with you, we can stab at the enemy, that God, you would help us. You would show us our weak areas, our blind spots, that we wouldn't be violating the covenant and then turning and being disappointed that you didn't meet your promises, that you didn't fulfill your promises, but rather, God, we know where your umbrella is. We know where your protection is, and we would just continue to live our lives to bring ourselves closer and closer and closer to the center of that umbrella, and we live in the benefits and the blessing and the favor of your protection over our lives. Anytime we begin to feel that stress, that insecurity, that doubt, that faithlessness, that we'd realize we had come out from underneath that umbrella, we would turn and we'd run back towards the center. But we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit's guidance. We need your word in our life. We need prayer. The closer we are to you, the closer we are to your protection. And so help us grow close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our ushers are going to come.